Hi, I'm Cheryl Pegus, cardiologist, president of Caluent, and clinical professor of medicine and population health at NYU's School of Medicine. Burnout is rampant, and it's having a significant impact on physicians, and in some cases, their patients. So what exactly is burnout? It's been defined as emotional exhaustion, long-term unresolvable job stress, a sense of being overwhelmed, depersonalization, and a loss of a sense of personal accomplishment. Medscape did a physician lifestyle report in 2017, and it showed that some of the leading causes of burnout include too many bureaucratic tasks, too many hours at work, feeling just like a cog in the wheel, dealing with EMRs, not earning enough money, insurance issues, difficult patients, and of course, many other causes. So who's feeling it the most? Overall, 51% of physicians report feeling burned out, although some specialties experience it more than others. The highest levels of burnout were reported among emergency physicians, OBGYNs, family physicians, and internists. Note, this was a substantial rise from 2013, when the figure was only 40%. So we've gone from 40% to 51%. We have Dr. Gabriel Sarah, an oncologist and the executive director of patient services at Mount Sinai Health System, and Dr. Ramon Shaw, a hospitalist physician from NYU Langone Medical Center and the medical director of the Department of Care Management and Care Transitions at NYU Langone.
So I'm a medical oncologist. I've been in practice since 1987. About 10 years ago, I joined Roosevelt Hospital, which is today Mount Sinai West, and I'm the medical director of the chemotherapy suite over there.
Thank you. And Dr. Ramon?
So I am a hospitalist, which means that I am a hospital medicine expert. I have now started my 12th year as that, trained as both a pediatrician and as an adult physician. I help to teach in the hospital trainees and medical students. And I'm also, as of earlier this year, the medical director for Department of Care Management and Care Transition.
Dr. Sarah, you've started a really innovative program at Mount Sinai for physicians to help combat burnout. Can you tell us a little bit about that program and when did it start?
Almost 15 years ago, one day I was rounding in the hospital, and one of our oncology fellow, one very nice guy, very low profile, doesn't talk much, doesn't share much, grabs me in the hallway and tells me, "Dr. Sarah, I'd like to talk to you." I really felt in his tone that he seemed to have something really hard to talk about. He was feeling very disturbed. And I felt that, and I stopped working. I said, "Let's go together." I took him to a room. We sat down, and I said, "What's going on, Corey?" And he told me, "I am treating a patient with acute leukemia who has exactly my age, and all the treatment failed, and she's dying, and I feel horrible about it. I feel I failed." Mm-hmm. So I sat down with him and coached him how he can cope with his feeling. I could feel how intense his pain, and I also realized that nobody ever told him how you can cope with these feelings that he's going to have to deal with all his life as an oncologist. And as I was going back to my office, I said to myself, how I was so blind. I mean, this guy was in front of me and he talked to me, I saw it. But how many around me are feeling the same way? Nurses and doctors.
And so now you host these sessions. How often do you host them and how did they start?
So I've started it with once a month, which we kept doing it because it's hard to find the time for people. That's one of the problems, to find the time to take care of your own feelings.
Sure.
So we have once a month from 8 to 9 a breakfast meeting where 10 to 20 people come. There'll be much more nurses, actually, than doctors because they are on the floor. But we have doctors and nurses. We have also on our hospital, we have music therapists. We have artists. We have the chaplain, social workers. They come all together. And we sit down, and then there is usually one or two who volunteer sharing a story that was hard emotionally or beautiful emotionally, but challenging. And they tell their story. We don't talk about medical issues at all. just emotion, how we cope with it, how our patients cope with it, our colleagues cope with it, and we start discussing it. And the discussion takes us in amazing places where you feel that there is a lot of healing that goes on and sharing. And since we've been doing it, I find that there is a total different atmosphere on that floor where I do it. I do it on the oncology floor, sure. Where we have also medical patients, but it has transformed the atmosphere and how people are coping with stress, how people are dealing with sick patients, difficult people.
And Ramon, for you, you see a lot of medical students, a lot of residents. What are the types of signs and symptoms that you see of burnout?
Sometimes the symptoms can be so hard to recognize, right? So we work with folks who are working these intense hours with a lot of demands on their time. And recognizing that can sometimes be tricky, actually. And I think that physicians are sometimes the worst at recognizing that in their colleagues and in the trainees. I can observe quite a bit with my house staff and with my medical students. And sometimes it really shows up quite simply as compassion fatigue, actually. And so looking at how they are interacting with their patients or how depersonalized they may actually, describe the patients and everything, I think that that is the first thing that I tend to see in our trainees.
I think when we talk about recognizing the signs and symptoms of people who are suffering with burnout, the question is, how do we approach them? How do we begin the conversation? Who has the responsibility in a hospital? I think you, as an attending, you've taken a responsibility for those who are being trained. And who do we think has the responsibility in a health system to do this? And should we be proactively having these available for people to take advantage of?
First of all, it's one, recognizing that it is a problem and we need to do something. There were about, I think, 8 to 10 CEOs who were the author of this particular article in Health Affairs, and they were really discussing about how much of a crisis we're in with physician burnout, but also recognizing that we as leaders within the institution must realize that this is not only affecting the individual who is suffering burnout, but it's also affecting the organization and the repercussions that come from that, but also to a patient level. And we know that physician burnout can affect the quality and the safety of care that are delivered to patients. So it must come from senior leadership.
People always recommend yoga and meditation to help with stress. Are there any suggestions? Gabriel?
You know, it's hard to give you a recipe that works for everybody. So I'm sorry to tell you that I don't have a specific answer for this specific question right now. But I feel that already the fact that you're acknowledging to yourself that you have a stress issue will help you find maybe a solution. And maybe talking to people who are working with you, close to you, might maybe help you find something that works for you. But certainly yoga and meditation are worth trying if you have the time for it.
Sure.
I would not just discount it like that.
One of the things that you may not like meditation and yoga, but you may like knowing that you have a blocked out time on your calendar. So one of the things that's definitely recommended, I think people have their work calendar, their personal calendar, combining that so you have some personal time to pursue something that allows you to de-stress is really important. What are current hourly cutoffs for medical students, interns, and residents? And are they fair? Do they contribute to burnout?
The work hour rules have been around for house staff probably since before my training, which I'm not going to say live on air, but before my training 15 or more years ago, that those hours did change. And do I think that they're fair? Or I do, but they're on a national scale, I think, revisiting like the number of hours that people can work consecutively, because we do know that there is more data actually since those work hours have come out, kind of showing if that has impacted or not the overall level of safety and errors that happen within the hospital.
And Dr. Sarah?
I do have a comment on the number of hours.
Sure.
Is that we are in a world where numbers matter for everything, and numbers are becoming everything, and that's a shame. For the hours, we measure hours. In reality, it's not the hours that we should measure, it's what we do in those hours.
Sure.
So when I trained in the early 80s, we didn't have computers, and we didn't have all this extra administrative stuff we have, which have not impacted our patients' outcome, but have increased our workload. Mm-hmm. So we would work some weeks where 90 hours in a week, which to this would seem absolutely inhumane, but we survived those hours. I'm not recommending that anyone does that.
Sure. Obviously I'm glad not. You're not.
I'm not. But I think that those hours were hours where we felt we were doing something meaningful, all these hours. While today, when you sit in front of your computer to catch up with all the paperwork and the, all the administrative stuff that takes your time, those hours, in my opinion, the burnout from these hours is more than the burnout when you are in action. You're taking care of a patient, you're helping somebody, you're doing something meaningful immediately for the patients.
Mm-hmm. And I do think that, you know, as we look at how healthcare has changed, the real question is, are we training people to now accommodate this new set of rules in how we practice medicine? Because frankly, EHRs are not going away. And so the real issue is, how do we get comfortable and how do we utilize tools and a team-based approach to care? And there are definitely studies that show where you have a team where everyone from the front office staff to the nurses to nurse practitioners to physicians are working as a team. Are more docs burnt out today than before, or are docs more comfortable talking about it today than they were before?
I think they are more burned out right now. Now people are talking about it, so obviously people are going to come out and say it. And I think that there are more than what we hear. Probably there is more than 51%.
Sure.
Because many people may not even realize that they burned out.
Yeah.
And so they're not going to say it. And some know it, but they don't say it. So I think the 51% probably is less than what the reality is about.
There's maybe a stigma to it where people don't feel that they want to actually voice
to admit it
that
themselves.
That's what they're feeling. Because sometimes even with burnout, that sometimes it can be hard to differentiate between burnout and
tiredness.
Or even depressive symptoms or feeling depression. So some underlying like mental health or behavioral health disorder,
sure.
It can be hard to tease that out. But even from 2011 to 2017 in the Medscape survey, like more people are saying that they feel burnout. And this is not just from a sampling of a few hundred people. These are like, you know, over 10,000 people who are responding, all physicians, to this. So we know it's a problem, and in 6 years, more people are saying it's a problem.
We started talking a little bit about medical students and residents as they enter the field and what they're also experiencing and being able to deal with a transitioning healthcare program. If you are on the floor and you have medical students or residents or fellows who are working with you, do you actively go up and talk about, you know, these are long hours, try to build a relationship? Are you talking about, you know, we should have lunch sometime? How are you building those mentoring relationships with the young trainees? And how are you doing it with your colleagues? Because I think what one of the things, right, is how do you go back and do some of these things in your own institution? Would love to hear kind of how are you doing that?
Yeah, so I think that, you know, one thing we don't talk enough of when it comes to burnout is the role of mentorship and finding purpose in work. And I think when it comes to what we do, you know, there is so much of that administrative burden that we do have to do. There are like regulatory burdens that we have to like really comply with. But at the same time, we still have to find that purpose in the work in what we do. And so working with trainees and medical students is awfully rewarding. And I think one is to recognize the breadth of the work that we do, but also realize how challenging and how difficult it is because, you know, we're coming in dealing with, especially from an inpatient hospital perspective, we're dealing with the sickest of the sick folks. Yeah. And nowadays, getting into the hospital is much more difficult than it used to be 5, 10, or even 20 years ago. And so when it comes to that, we have to recognize that it is hard. And I think when we vocalize that and we say, you know, what important work we're doing, but what hard and challenging work it is, I think it opens up a dialogue for people to then say, you know what, it is hard and it is challenging, and let's talk about how that makes me feel as a provider with, you know, within this context of this current
and
healthcare
system. And so
two
great points.
And I would like to add also two other issues, which I call passion and empowerment.
Mm-hmm.
Those medical students, in general, worked very hard to become medical students. Most of them are dreaming that this is a beautiful profession. It's not an office job where you sit behind your desk 9 to 5. You are here in a community. You are here because of a mission to make a difference for people who need you. and you need to learn how to become that person. So they come with those dreams, and then frequently the reality makes them lose it. And I want to nurture that. I want to make them realize that it is actually a passion to be a doctor. It's an amazing mission to be able to be a healer. And that's what your role
exactly
is about.
Right.
And then when you get them to feel it and live it mm-hmm. with you in your experience with your patient,
yeah.
it is contagious and it's delicious. And they start to feel it. And so I think the feeling of being someone who can make a difference around him because he learned something and he's doing it well can help us cope with all the headaches of the administrative stuff, EMR, etc., because they're not really our life.
I say this. I know we've talked about it, Ramon, as well. This is one of the best fields and one of the best careers. So being able to manage and support each other through it until we're doing this, as I like to say, until you're pushing me out in my wheelchair, it is one of those areas where we can talk about every work that we do, right? These are people's lives, but they're long relationships. You're dealing with different specialties. What can we do to take away the stigma of burnout?
Is increase the awareness that it's a dangerous thing that we are all exposed to. No one is protected from burnout, number one. And first of all, tell people that, listen, there's nothing wrong to acknowledge it. Let's talk about it. I think that's the most important, is to push people to think they're not alone. You know,
right.
part of that passion empowerment is that, well, I feel this way, but you feel this way too, and she feels this way
exactly.
too. Then we start feeling that, you know, I'm not alone. You feel already better just by knowing that. And then address it. We have to face it. We can't, like, wishy-wash talking about it. We have to really sit down. You put it on the table, we're going to talk about it, and let's see what we can do about it.
I think it speaks also to the mm-hmm. culture of your work environment. Mm-hmm. Are you in a work environment where you do feel comfortable with your colleagues? I mean, I think it's something that people should always look at. How are we working together as a team? If I have an issue, am I comfortable going to my colleague and saying, hey, I noticed this. Can we talk about this? What role can hospital administration play in reducing burnout? Ramon?
It is so important that we are attaching our names to this to say that we need to do something at a national level, but also at the same time, we want to do something and we have pledged to do something within our own organization to help address this. And not only that, like, what are some bullet points? How are we going to do this and, like, really come up with strategies? So I think seeing it and hearing it from that most senior level, but at the same time, what are we doing at the local level? What are we doing at the individual level? So on those units, on those floors, in the office, in the clinic, is having those discussions about how difficult it is. And when you have the, and I've been accused of this as well, is celebrating when the good things happen, because we
exactly.
don't often do that.
I think that this is so important, what you're mentioning,
sure.
that, you know, big people are talking about it, that this is important. But you think about today, the kind of medicine we're dealing with. We're constantly bombarded and besieged by surveys of the patient satisfaction, which is important.
Mm-hmm.
But did anyone do a survey of the doctors and nurses and housekeepers who work in the hospital? Are they satisfied? Are they happy? Because if everybody was happy in his job, the productivity will be so much better, the burnout will go down, mm-hmm. they'll make more money up in the administration. And
sure.
I think there is not enough of that, and it has to come from the top. You have to have programs that are geared to see, well, are you happy at your job, Ramon? How mm-hmm. how does it feel?
Mm-hmm.
And it has to be really on an institution basis. We should have gyms in the hospital. You should have rewards if you go to the gym on a regular basis. You should have, you know, entertainment organized. I mean, in my division, I have a program for my patients that include massage, music therapy, art. We do it for the staff as well.
And what the CEOs actually suggested in this article was, you know, right on their dashboards of the length of stay and the readmission rates for the hospital, there's also the physician workforce satisfaction that's sitting right up there with those things.
Great point.
So it makes it equivalent to those other aspects of how do we run our hospital system.
So for hospital administrators, it's taking the pulse of your employees and really finding out and then mm-hmm. putting in some of the solutions, as you've mentioned, making sure there is access to facility to work out, or if not a membership discount that allows everyone from the physicians throughout to do it. You mentioned how you started your program at Mount Sinai with one fellow. Some of the other symptoms that you see and hear about, Dr. Sarah?
You know, you look at people's eyes and that shine that they had before is gone. You don't see the light that they had when they started their training or their work, and it's going down. And you see them; they never smile. They constantly exhausted. They're constantly maybe complaining about things. You don't feel that their day was rewarding. So these are definitely signs of it coming in, and we should really see that and recognize it. It should be, despite all the little trouble we have, it should be a passion and a job where we go with love and passion and feel all the time that. That gives a lot of energy, by the way.
That's right.
And the opposite is happening when you're starting to have burnout.
So some of the things we've said, you know, not wanting to be at work, mm-hmm. not feeling satisfied yeah. with the work that you're doing, not interested in participating in any events that really help improve the productivity at yeah. work. Does physician burnout affect patients? And if that happens, how?
What we know is that actually the quality of the care that are delivered to patients from people who self-identify as having burnout actually is less, so the quality is less. Those people who experience burnout are more likely to have more safety events or errors in the care of a patient. And so we do know that, and this has been studied, that this can actually happen at the patient level.
Medicine is first about listening to your patient. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listening to your patient means connect to your patient. It's like almost a religious experience, sure. all right? But if I am completely like caved into my burnout syndrome, you don't count much for me. Right. I just want to survive my day. So I want to get you out of the office as quickly as I can. So I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to give you the time to talk. You're not going to give me your symptoms well. And I'm going to just do whatever looks good on papers. Without realizing I'm doing that, I just want to get done with my day. Yeah. So you're going to miss diagnosis. You're not going to miss the symptoms. You're going to order the wrong test. You're going to order the wrong dose. I mean, the effect on patients' care
is real.
Yeah, but you know, patients feel it.
That's right.
You know, and I always tell my patients, if you walked out of the doctor's office with a problem, even if he didn't solve it for you, you didn't feel better than when you walked in. Change doctor. That doctor has to make you feel that he cares about you, that he's going to work on your problem, and it should make you feel better than when you walked in. If you don't feel this way, change doctor. The burnt-out doctor will be doing this.
Medscape has a number of resources about how to address burnout on their website. Would highly recommend to people that they look at that. As we mentioned, the survey that really started this discussion was completed by Medscape. The other thing is that the American Medical Association has a toolkit on addressing burnout. So does the American Association of Family Practice and the Association of Physicians, ACP. And so there are a number of different resources to do that. There are actually also a number of tools for measuring burnout. You can find them in any of these kits. They are available. If you are talking to a coach, which I know we haven't talked about yet. You know, we've talked about a mentor, but a mentor and a coach, if you find that you are trying to figure out what are the next steps in my career, what are the things I should be doing, the administration and HR department and a lot of your institutions actually have resources that allow you to address some of that. Other things that you would add, Dr. Sarah, Dr. Jacobs?
I think that, you know, in a given institution, you will have some people who are more maybe gifted to be coaching and mentoring people about that. This is a normal,
sure.
you know, so you will have some people that I think the administration officer should recognize these people. And they could be in any specialty.
That's right.
It's just their personality. And these people should be responsible of regularly meeting. Sit down, say, okay, how was it this month? And I think we should be ahead of the game. You know, when the doctors are burned out, it's sometimes so hard to bring them back. Mm-hmm. So I think we should be ahead of it to try not to get there by regularly having those kind of meetings, maybe once a month in a division, but acknowledge who can run those meetings and then help people talk. And it has to become something we can talk about easily, not something we put in the closet.
Well, and I think the issues we've brought up today is taking away the stigma from acknowledging burnout at the administrative level and then at our colleagues.
I do not think at all that burnout affects one group of a personality more than any other person. I think that any person, female or male, older physicians, younger physicians, fresh out of training or have been training for decades, I think that burnout doesn't know a specific group and can affect any person.
What do you think?
Yeah, I think we should acknowledge that all of us are at risk.
Yeah.
Nobody is protected. But what I will say that your experience in your previous life from becoming a doctor might give you a lot of resiliency. And I find this a common situation where people have had a tough life or went through a difficult thing that they survived. The burnout doesn't touch them that much.
How do you build resilience? Setting boundaries, talking things out with others, a team approach to work and life, having humor. I think you've seen a lot of that today from us. Taking some time away from work, a self-awareness and self-acceptance of who you are. So I think resilience is a really important factor in burnout. We all experience burnout. We all bounce back.
We were talking earlier about like emails and that email kind of connectedness as well. And what I do for myself is that when it is vacation time, it is vacation time. There is an out of office. I am not responding while I'm away because I need that time to recharge so that when I get back to the business of, you know, of work and seeing patients, I want to feel like I'm like refreshed and recharged for that.
But what now I'm finding is that if I don't check my work email while I'm away, just to knock them off, when I come back, it is terrible.
Long list.
Plus, you might miss some important messages buried in the southern message that you have to go through. So while I do send an out of message, and actually recently I've been saying to people, please do not put me on any CC from that day because I'm not going to look at your email. And it cut down the number of mail I get when I'm away. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to do it every time from now on, even if it hurts people. But I have to kind of clean up my inbox so when I come back, it's not horrible.
How do you reverse burnout once you're there?
Definitely say one is to find your passion. If you've lost your passion, recognize that you've lost that drive for that passion, but also that life outside of the work environment is more important than life inside of that. And so balancing and recognizing that you have loved ones outside of your work environment and nurturing and making sure you keep those relationships safe and sound.
If I'm going to help somebody who I feel in that is stuck in that box, I want first to try to let that person talk enough to understand what was the burnout factors for you, because for each one there will be some predominant factors more than others.
Sure. And so
I want to identify what were the problems that got you to be feeling this way, and then try to tackle them each one after the other. And as Ramon said, try to remind you, you do have a passion. It's not gone.
Right.
Just don't let him sleep. Let it sleep. Bring it back.
Yeah, find it
And that's so important. And that can be the most powerful tool, is finding your passion. But first, let's see what happened and how can we make it better. And frequently I find that when I do that with people, they wake up. And I can see their eyes now changed and they feel different. And I check with them later on. So how is it going? You know, and it's like you can reset the clock.
Sure.
So burnout is not an irreversible thing, but we need to see it's happening, find the causes, work on them, and get the passion back.
You can help manage your calendars a little better, setting aside time for yourself and for your family. And one of the things I have, which I think as a woman sometimes is hard, is learn not to say yes to everything. There are some things that you can say no to and really try to manage that, saying it in a polite manner. And if you need mental health treatment, seek it out. If you need a coach, seek it out. I think one of the things that we have to say is we all go through having stressful times that lead to burnout. And though technology has been introduced recently and we talk more about pay for performance or value-based programs, physicians have been experiencing burnout for a long time. And what we try to do to support ourselves and support each other is to talk about it, to ask for help, and try to balance our family time with our work time. I'd like to thank two experienced experts who really shared, I think, really great advice, Dr. Gabriel Sarah, Dr. Ramon Jacob Shaw,